lights. And it seems the newer the vehicle, the more lights of warning and safety there are. I remember our first new vehicle. It was a 2003 Toyota Sienna minivan. It was a sad day when Becky and I realized that the minivan was our next vehicle for some reasons, but for other reasons, because we needed more seats. And so that minivan, we only had it for a few months, and I noticed a little light that was coming on in the instrument cluster that normally wasn't there one day. And I wasn't familiar with it because our other vehicles, I'd never seen a light like that before. And so I looked in the owner's manual and it said it was a low tire pressure light. How many of you wish that they did not have those? More of a headache than a help at times. So I wasn't familiar with that. Normally with our other vehicles, I'd walk around it, just check the tires. They looked okay. They were okay. If one looked a little low, I may check the pressure and then go add a little air. And so, like this new van, I went ahead and I walked around it. I looked at all the tires, and they all looked the same. They all looked fine. And so I decided, just kind of to ignore it. Figured it would go away. Well, it did. It stayed on. And finally, I took it back to Toyota, where I bought it from, and asked them, there's this light on the dash that says that there's a low tire. And I said, they all look fine. So I think something's wrong with it. And so they looked at it and said, yes. There was a nail right in the center of the tread that I could not see. And so the guy said, it was very good that you brought it in. Because one day, it would have been a very bad day for you. Because you would have either found the tire flat, or it could have blown as you were driving down the road. And so from that day on, when a light was on that shouldn't be on, I pay very close attention to it. But speaking of warning lights, the Bible also has warnings in it. Some of those warnings come from the prophets, and some of them came from the apostles. And we read today where some of them come from Amos, who didn't claim to be a prophet. He claimed to be a farmer, didn't he? But he was warning people that, according to God, they were in some serious danger. And as I said, God chose Amos to warn his people of this upcoming danger that they were about to be in. But instead of listening to the warning that God gave them through Amos, they wanted to silence Amos and to send him away. They didn't want to hear it. And this situation reminds us of just how dangerous it can be to ignore God's word and his warnings for us. And to ignore those who call us to heed his warning. Because God has not changed. Yet we are always subject to change in our society, our culture, and those who make and educate our laws. Yet we must remember, whatever the situation is, we must obey God rather than man. We continue today in our society, in our culture, to witness those who attempt to legislate morality. And according to selfish pleasure versus the common good of the majority. Many Christians struggle with this phenomenon, yet some seem to be fine with it. If you are a Christian, what matters most is that you trust God's word rather than the opinions of what is trendy. Jesus teaches us to love our neighbor, but do we love them enough to share God's truth with them? Jesus shows us that loving our neighbor includes sharing his truth about God's design for us in relationships. And I have to say that what is going on in our culture and world with these attempts to legislate morality in terms of sexuality and gender in the name of equality is nothing new. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. As I said, God's word does not change. But the bottom line is that we are all guilty of ignoring God's word at times and believing that our own way is right. And the truth is, we will continue to struggle with sinful desires while we live on this earth. However, we can rejoice and be thankful for the fact that God promises to be with us in our struggle. He doesn't just promise to be with us, but he came into our struggle. That he took on our struggle with sin on the cross. And his death paid the debt of our rebellion. And his resurrection assures us that even as he lives, we will live also. And until we see him and are with him face to face, God has a way for us to live that is best for us and our neighbor. God knew what he was doing when he created us in his image. Male and female, he created them. Which brings me to refer you to the insert in your bulletin to warn you about two important concerns with the Equality Act and K-12 health education standards here in Nebraska, specifically. Every state is actually going through this. I read on the news yesterday, I believe it was California, that they are now passed out 240 condoms to fifth graders. And also feminine products as well, which can be helpful. But not the condoms, right? These kids are in elementary school.
Yeah.
And they are passing those out. So we continue to see this movement, this sexual movement. And we have to filter it through the lens of God's word. So here's two. This is from the LCMS. There's a website there. Free to Be Faithful is the organization. And there's information here. You've probably heard of the Equality Act. And you may or may not have heard of the K-12 health education standards for this state of Nebraska. But as I said, other states are having similar conversations in their policies because of the federal funding of the state education. So, but there's some information there on both sides of the paper, and this is through a biblical lens. So this is very good information, because if you try to read through this stuff on your own, it's daunting, okay? And the way it's written and worded is you need an attorney to interpret it for you. And so this has been very well documented and put out for us as a resource. So you may even take this and share this with someone that you know that may be struggling with that as well. Because some will refuse to listen to the warning, and they will remain in their ignorance to God's word, whereas some will do their part as the prophets of old did and warn others of the damaging consequences that may be on the horizon for our nation. Just as we would want someone to warn us of coming danger, we too need to do our part as citizens of this nation to warn others. Yet that we do it as an act of love and not as an act of judgment. And if you're a Christian, I give you the benefit of the doubt that if you are warning someone, that you have their best intention. But it's the words that you use that they can receive your words of truth in a way that they will hear it as good intentions and not as judgment. Because God wants those and them who are created in His image to reflect His love for His greatest creation, which is you. And He wants you to reflect that now and forever. So let us pray. Father, I pray as we are reminded that you call ordinary people to receive your truth, to come to faith, and then to share your truth. Not just those who are called as pastors or missionaries or teachers, but you call each of us, Lord, that you give us influence and authority over those who are around us. We may not be able to influence a whole community necessarily, but we can tear off our little piece of the darkness as we shine our light. So give us courage to know that you equip us in every way, and that we receive that. That it's not popular, and it's not easy at times. You tell your disciples before you send them to heaven that because I offended people, people will be offended by you. Because they persecuted me, they will persecute you. That the truth, the light, offends us, ultimately. Each of us it does, because of sin. And yet, Lord, you give us your Holy Spirit to rise up, to be that light in the darkness. And Lord, to help us, that you would be, your word would be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path, that we may be able to bring people to the light of your path versus the darkness. And Lord, we pray that we're reminded, Lord, to be encouraged today, not discouraged, but that we as a people of God have something that no other organization has, that we have hope, that we have forgiveness because of what you have given to us, that we may give it and share it with others as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of forgiveness, we'll now stand.